Right now, though, we want to get to Aurora's police chief, Kristen Zeman, hear what she has to say. You had a big Facebook Live event, and we're so happy you're calling in, Chief. We've been trying to talk with you for a little while, and things keep getting moved around for news conferences, so thanks for calling in this afternoon.
No problem. Yeah, you guys keep blowing me off for the governor. Gosh.
I know, right? This is how it goes.
I don't blame you.
He's, you know, when he comes on, we listen. And today in particular, we will be listening for sure. And I know a lot of people were listening to you yesterday, Chief Zeman, because you did a Facebook Live event. Aurora Mayor, you, yourself, and one of your commanders at the Aurora Police Department, they all got the virus. All of you dealt with it. And last night, you had a very candid conversation about that. It's a lot to share, and I know you had a lot of questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was a little uncanny that the fact that not only the mayor, but the police chief and the commander of the Bureau of Patrol Division all went down with COVID. And as it stands right now, and I'm knocking wood on my head here, but we are the only three in our department of, you know, of 307 sworn officers that have tested positive. So I guess if we had to be the sacrificial lambs in that regard, you know, kind of to your point, would you inject yourself with the virus if you could help others? And I feel like, man, if we got it early and were able to learn lessons from it and save others from getting it, then that was a good thing.
Well, you all have been extremely candid about what you went through. I saw the mayor, Mayor Irvin. He was on the show, too, but he talked in this Facebook Live event about how he went to the edge and back, that it really just tested him as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Yeah, no, he gets the monopoly on suffering. Same with my commander. They both had it far worse than I did. And I just keep joking with them just because, you know, I'm strong like a bull. But they had it so much worse. So when I was, you know, my first symptoms showed up in around mid-March, actually March 15th is when I went down. And quite frankly, I was down for about a good 4 to 5 days with a mild fever, with a pounding headache, and a cough. And I'll tell you, that pounding headache, I wrote off as just like the weather that we have here that's so sporadic. I just thought, man, the weather just keeps changing and fluctuating, and it was messing with my sinuses. And so it wasn't until that fever hit that I thought, okay, maybe I have it. But even then, I wasn't convinced because I was one of the fortunate ones and I did not have any respiratory issues. So I didn't have, you know, belabored breathing or anything like that. So for me, it honestly just felt like a really bad flu with body aches that I'd never had before. And then, of course, just no energy whatsoever. It took a long time to get that energy back. But no, he had it a lot worse. I did not see the lights, and you know, as he did. So I'm one of the fortunate ones.
Yeah, I bet. I bet you feel that way. I know that I would too. You hear people who otherwise seem young and healthy and everything else, you know, and then suddenly this hits them, and you've heard some of those stories that it can be brutal, absolutely brutal.
Devastating. And especially the fact that, you know, this is such an odd virus because of the spectrum of how it affects people. I mean, you know, you have people that, you know, have perished, that have died. We're losing loved ones, you know, family members to this, you know, and then you're having people that are completely asymptomatic testing positive, and then ones like myself that are really, you know, on the far end of the mild spectrum, you know. So, and that's what's so interesting about this COVID-19 is how it's affecting different people in different ways.
Yeah. I mean, you spent your life and career there in Aurora, and I know you care deeply about what happens to other people there. And in general, I mean, as a first responder, how do you feel about the role of first responders in all of this? It's a challenging time.
It most certainly is. I mean, if you think about what our role is as first responders, it's, you know, regardless of how serious the incident is, you know, typically we've trained for it, we've prepared for it, you know, give us a crisis. You know, we had a mass shooting in Aurora, you know, a little over a year ago, and that was devastating, but my point is, but we know how to respond. We know how to respond to those kinds of incidents because it's what we always train for. This is one of those things where, you know, at the beginning of this, I was making it up as I went along. You know, as first responders, we weren't sure how we were going to be dealing with a pandemic, knowing that we can't stay home. These frontline officers, these EMTs, these firefighters, medical professionals, all first responders cannot stay home. And so that was quite a bit of a learning curve And then to top it all off, with me trying to manage operations from home, you know, in my pajamas after having been tested and quarantined, and you know, that proved another challenge. But you know, what I will say is that it has validated for me what I already knew about first responders, is that they are one of the most resilient group who put themselves, their service before anything else. So it's service above self. And I am so proud of the way that they have shown up during this pandemic. And again, we've had to navigate some uncharted territory, but I'll tell you, they bend, but they do not break. And they are out there not only still enforcing the law, because sadly, we still have people who are committing crimes in the middle of this. So not only are they doing that, but then they're putting their own well-being, per usual, you know, as a police officer, you know that perhaps you may not go home at the end of the night, but usually it's, you know, it's because we think about succumbing to violence. Well, now we're putting them in harm's way in the middle of a pandemic where they could contract this virus and, you know, going into someone's house, and, you know, people still call 911 during this. And then on top of that, having to worry about not only their own health, but then taking it home to their families. So it just adds another layer of stress. And I'll tell you, they are the real heroes in all of this, along with the medical professionals, because they just keep showing up and doing what they have to do to keep our community safe.
Well said, Chief. I mean, it's such an important reminder. I'm grateful for what our first responders do all the time. And right now, you think about it, they run toward the danger no matter what, when everyone else is running away or trying to get away. But right now, you don't even know where the dangers are. You still have to answer calls and interact with people regardless. You don't get to do a test on them first. You still have to show up and do that. So it sounds, I'm so happy to hear your force has been untouched and by it, other than yourself and your commander, and maybe the fact that you were talking about it so openly and trying to just get those kinds of things in place to protect people in your department. Maybe that paid off in a big way.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's part of it, is that we prepare. We are a city of preparation, and we saw this coming, like a lot of people. But when you see something coming, you know, you kind of can't wait for it to hit you, you know. And so we sat down in our conference room early March, and even towards the end of February, early March. And it wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when it was going to get here. And so we put in contingency plans in place right away, and they were phases. Phase one, we're going to go to a digital roll call, get all of the officers out of the police department, have our detectives try to, you know, set them up with VPNs and work from home and do as much as they could, alternating work schedules. All of these we implemented in phases. So when we were ready to pull the lever, we were already acting when the stay-at-home order went into place. And so we had already had our operations and our systems and processes in place, and we had already pilfered, begged for a lot of PPEs that we didn't have. So we were ahead of the game. But the irony in this whole thing is that while we, the command staff and city leaders, were busy preparing in a room, you know, we were sitting shoulder together and probably infecting one another with the virus. So I think that, and that is just the ultimate irony for me, is that while we're preparing to keep everyone else safe, we infected ourselves.
Oh, gosh. Chief, it's just the way it is. But thank you for doing what you're doing. Thanks for calling in. Stay healthy. Keep everybody there healthy. And we need you. We need you out there. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I will pass that on to